This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey, this is Arvind Yuvraj. You're listening to Open for Business, and I'll be speaking to someone who's quite familiar to a few of us at the station. His name is Wong Wei Ming, founder and CEO of Speed Home, formerly known as Speed Rent. He's been on the show a couple of times. You might have heard him on Enterprise Biz Bytes and on The Evening Edition. And I wanted to have a chat with Wei Ming again for a few reasons. One, Speed Home was recently named the top nominee in the EY Entrepreneur of the Year 2020 Malaysia program, which is big. But also, it's a very different time for the property scene, right? New challenges, new solutions, new technologies. Lots of interesting things to talk about and to touch on. So with that said, Wei Ming, thanks so much for joining us over Zencaster this morning.
Thanks a lot for the call.
Awesome. Okay. So we last spoke in 2019, and between then and now, you've gone through a lot of changes, including changing the name of the company as well. So could you give us a brief overview of what's new and what has changed in the last couple of years?
Wow. I think a lot of change. So I think I will highlight a few key changes. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we have successfully raised our crowdfunding. So with that, we are much more well capitalized to actually grow our business. So in terms of 2020, we actually grew our business by more than two times. So I think everyone was struggling, and I think we were growing at that point. I think predominantly is really because, as I always think that rental is a very recession-proof market, and just kind of validated my hypothesis, right? Apart from that, we launched a lot of new initiatives, especially during the pandemic. We launched video viewing, virtual viewing. In fact, we sent people to do WhatsApp video to virtually view it live. Mm-hmm. For tenants to, to build a house. But apart from that, business is all good in terms of innovation. We launch even more, selling more safetiness to the landlords. For example, we launched this thing called on-time rental guarantee, which typically guarantees landlord on-time rental payment. Regardless tenant pay on time or not, we will foot the bill first, right? And we will, behind the scenes, we'll try to recoup it. And the other one, I think, which is very, very hot selling, it's this thing we call OCD, Overstay Cash Defender. Mm-hmm. It typically guarantees landlord up to a year of tenants overstaying the house. So, Malaysia is notoriously hard to evict tenants. Because of the absence of law and regulation in residential area. And we basically say, okay, if the tenant, let's say, lost their job and couldn't afford to pay and refused to move out, that's when the nightmare really starts, right, for all of the landlords out there, that this is the biggest risk that they can think of. Mm-hmm. And for us, we basically share the risk with them by saying, so long they overstay, we will pay you up to a year, right? So that's where we actually sell a lot of a package holistically. How do we protect the landlord from that point of view? So I think in terms of technologically, we are advancing in terms of, introducing more innovative ways to view. In terms of safetiness, so we introduce on-time rental guarantee and overstay cash defender. And business-wise, I think we're doing these things right, and business as a consequence, it went up.
It's interesting that you mentioned the technology, which is something that I'll come back to in a bit. But I wanted to ask you, are you tackling a different gap in the market now, though? Like, does that ever change with time? Like, what are some of the new pain points that you're trying to solve?
Right. I think as we look at the market right now, is very soft. The gap that we see right now, I mean, in the past, we are always talking about how can we help speed up things faster and so on and so forth. And obviously, this pandemic, which we think it better, I think, towards the end of the year, So internally, we are seeing that more and more people, in terms of tenants, they are embracing virtual viewing. And where we are actually seeing is that this is the one thing that actually slows things down. And we are internally, we have finished the prototyping of a virtual viewing robot, which we're going to deploy into the units so that tenants can live stream the house anytime, anywhere, 24/7.
I see. Okay. And I guess, like, you know, you guys are really the only property or prop tech guys in the market that are sort of like blatantly open about the racial profiling when it comes to renting a property and the anti-racism thing. Like, you are saying it out loud that it is wrong and that's not supposed to be the way. So do you see that message picking up steam, at least over the last 2 years? Like, how are you making that message louder?
I think for us, at least I can't say for the overall market, but I can only speak for what we see in Speed Home is that we the racial profiling has dramatically reduced on Speed Home specifically. I think that is through our education that people trust one another on web surface layer is by commonalities. And, you know, racial comes into the first part, right? We see everyone's skin color, and this is the one thing that we can trust easier. So when we introduce these more objective way of screening, where we look into beyond the skin, right? We are looking at their financial background. We are looking at their data behavior, their activities behavior on our platform. We sort of be able to predict what's the likelihood of this tenant is a bad tenant, right? So so I think from that point, more and more actually embrace that it's not so much about commonalities, it's really about what's beneath the skin or what's in your head, right? And that sort of behavior modeling that we are doing actually helps to mitigate a lot of all this racial profiling.
You know, of course, the pandemic, you mentioned it before, it changed everything. It impacted the property market in a big way as well. In what ways did it affect Speed Home specifically?
Well, I think if anything, it actually works in our favor. Because, you know, put it this way, I think the income inequality is going to be wider. And people need to rent. So I think it's a good trend that it's we foresee it's a rental economy moving forward. And the thing is, the pandemic actually creates a lot of creative ideas coming out, you know, where people right now, before that, they were very resistant in doing room rentals. Right now, we are seeing more and more embracing it. In fact, because we made it so easy for them, in the sense where in the past, if you do room rental, a house suddenly, you know, instead of dealing with one tenant, you may be dealing with three or four tenants. So you basically triple or quadruple your people that you need to maintain relationship with. And Speed Home over here, we just use our platform as a medium to simplify that. And because we help with the rental collection, which is the something that nobody likes to do, but everyone has to do. And that's a pain point that we have taken care of on our platform. So as a consequence of that, people just are more open to embrace unconventional way of renting houses.
Yeah, and I guess you also played your own part by offering rent relief last year, right? If not mistaken?
Yeah.
Okay, okay. You also mentioned something about rental economy just now. So I'm not sure if this is true, but what kinds of trends are you seeing in the property scene now? Because on one side, the property market got hit. But on the flip side, like you've mentioned in a couple of places, we have all these like reimbursements and incentives that's allowing younger first-time home buyers to, you know, to finally access that market that was closed off before. So what is your take on this?
I am taking a very neutral stand on that. Typically, all this incentive that's given out is more of a short-term, cushioning the short-term impact, right? And when you buy a house, it's a long-term commitment. You know, it's the biggest, most expensive things that one person can potentially buy in their whole lifetime. And with the economic uncertainty, even though I think the feel good factor last year has not trickled down to right now. I think right now it's pretty, not that great, put it this way. So I think people are holding off buying all these things. It's still a tough sell at this point. But obviously, you can see property developers are moving towards an affordable range. So I think if there are more affordable range coming out at the right price, at the right location, I think it's still going to work. There are still people who want to buy as a first home buyer. It's just at the right price and at the right location. I think that's the key thing in any time. You know.
Do you see that changing in, let's say, the next 3 to 4 years?
In terms of the pricing of the house?
In terms of more people sort of like buying instead of renting, that shift happening, if property becomes more affordable and stuff.
I think it will be, if you look at more mature markets, typically it's the investor that's buying the house and lease it out as a passive income, right? So I think in terms of Malaysian market, I think it's still sellable, but I think a lot are still coming from property investors. In fact, one thing I think data hasn't been able to tell, and don't quote me on that, I suspect minimum 30% of all these first home buyers, a lot of them are money came from their parents to actually fund it or as a proxy to buy an investment house. So I think in that sense, we are still bullish on rental economy. Maybe the house ownership is more concentrated on the wealthy people rather than laymen.
Right. Okay. A few more questions to get through after a quick break for some messages. But in the meantime, I'm speaking with Wong Wei Ming, CEO of Speed Home, about how they're navigating the ups and downs in the property scene. We will be back in a bit. BFM 89.9.
Begin Free Malaysia. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Open for Business on BFM 89.9. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj, and my guest is the CEO of Speed Home, Wei Ming. And before the break, we were just talking about the gaps in the market and also Speed Home's take on racial profiling, which is a big issue in the local property market. Coming back to the technology for a bit, I'm sure technology helps a lot too, especially now. It's helped a lot of business sort of find new ways to do business and to leverage on online technology and stuff. Are you doing anything new with tech to help buyers and owners and renters? Because I know that virtual tours have been very helpful. Anything else?
So we are actually piloting on rental bidding right now. So again, we put our focus a lot on rental. So first of all, most of our innovation are surrounding rental. And that's where we are bullish on, right? Rental bidding as a way to encourage more people to look at different locations. So people always say hot location is always rentable. But if you are able to break a market that's not rentable and suddenly become hot, that's where you win, right? And so we are piloting with rental bidding in the sense where, be it Semenye or more outskirt locations where it's not as hot, high in demand, we hope that this bidding would spice up the interest in other locations. So that's one thing in terms of business model, not so much on tech, that we are looking at. Another thing that we are also looking at, we are also in a early stage of discussion with some property developers to actually lease out the property and then package it as a rental yield property to property investors. Mm-hmm. So it's still selling. It's just that a property developer taking one more step is to help finish it up, make sure everything is okay. And at our side, we make sure that there are tenants renting it. Once the tenant's in there, then obviously we'll sell it as a rental yield product. So it's becoming a solution rather than you buying a four walls and then you have to start finding people to deco or renovate and yada, yada, yada. So basically right now, you buy the house from property developer, it comes with a tenant in it already. So immediately you have cash flow coming in. So we are actually talking to, so far, I mean, the response has been really great. Other than Chinese New Year slowed things down a bit. Mm-hmm. But I think I think this is another avenue for property developers to think about selling rather than just pushing four walls to investors. Right now, we are packaging into a rental yield product where they buy and then there is immediate, all the hassle already be taken care of.
So, you know, speaking about cash flow and solutions, right? The last time we spoke, you only worked with rentals, not so much on sales, but...
Correct.
Yeah, so how does your revenue stream work with sales? Because I'm sure it's a different model altogether compared to how you work with home rentals.
Yeah, so we are still very early stage of looking into property sale.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, our revenue is mainly on selling insurance. So I think we will still look into that specific direction. At this point, like I said, we are still on a very piloting model. So we want to make it work before we think about how to monetize it. I'm pretty sure there are a lot of ways to monetize it. But for the time being, I think the one thing that we are looking at is mainly on selling insurance and potentially adding some marketing fees on top of it.
Okay, okay. So you were recently named a top nominee in the emerging category of the EY Entrepreneur of the Year 2020 Malaysia program. Can you tell us a bit about that? Like, how does that influence your brand? What does that mean for your brand?
I think as a business, I think... we have just 3-4 years old, so we are relatively young, and to get such a nomination is very exciting and unbelievable for us at times. You know, we didn't expect anything. We just say let's try our luck and go in, and fortunately we got nominated. And I think it's predominantly the innovation and I think it's the recognition of our hard work. I think for us has been really great, and people obviously would pay more attention to us in the sense where, you are more credible in some way, in some form because of that, right? So, yes, it's definitely a positive sign for us.
Mm. But just, expanding on that a bit, you mentioned the 4 years that you've been active. What about growth, Because you said the pandemic sort of worked in your favor business-wise, but did you change your sort of growth plans or things that you wanted to achieve in the last couple of years because of all these events that have happened? Did you have to tweak anything, change anything along the way?
Well, I would say actually a lot of plans and roadmap was actually deferred.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, before the pandemic happened, our forecast was actually more it's actually rosier than what we had registered during the pandemic. But it turned out, everyone in the team, we were very happy about it because, in March, we were thinking, oh my God, we are going to be shut down in a few months' time if this thing happened, right? And in fact, I think we managed to turn it to a growth story still. So I think for us, it's quite a positive one. We actually deferred our expansion plan to Bangkok because of the border is closed and all those too much uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
We actually deferred a lot of our in-house plans in terms of the product launches and so on and so forth, simply because we were focus on managing the changes required during the pandemic to thrive in that period, right? So all this, a lot of things were not planned, and we had to quickly formulate a new plan to actually change this. So for example, we were planning to invest more on R&D, but because of this pandemic, we need more people on the ground to help with the viewing. So we shifted some budget there, and that caused some new technological advancement. It's being deferred, product is being deferred, So there's a lot of things we change on the fly. So in some cases, people were saying the changes here is like one day is every, like 3 years of a lifetime, and it changes so much. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Couple of more questions, Wei Meng. So what are some of the challenges that you're facing at the moment at Speed Home? Besides all the things to do with growth and plans of the pandemic, what other challenges are you facing business-wise?
Well, I think the challenges is, running Speed Home every day is a challenge. We have a lot of growing pains. I think a lot of, I would say if anything at all, I always believe, I'm not being, for us internally, we believe that Speed Home is going to be really big, and it is us, ourselves internally, if we don't get our act right, it's us that actually going to, you know, break the company. Mm-hmm. And that's why we focus a lot on internal structure and training our staff and upskilling them, because we are growing so fast and the people we hire, they are great. But at the same time, they are all very young, fresh graduates, or interns, that typically they are suddenly given an important portfolio, because we just need people to help us execute things, right? And I think one of the biggest challenge that we have right now is internal alignment. You know, when you're running 20 people headcount company, you know, to 100, things have to change, and manager have to change to less hands-on and more management and stuff like that. And that is the transition that, you know, we are feeling the growing pain right now. So I think a lot of my focus is on bringing up the next generation leaders in the company. So I think that itself is the biggest. You know, we are not short of ideas to execute. In fact, there's so many ideas that, you know, we have limited resources. So key talents is extremely crucial for us. I would sum it up in such a way, like alignment and human resources, human talent.
Human resources. Okay. So let's cap this interview by talking about expansion plans. You know, what do you have coming up on the horizon? You know, even pandemic-wise, there's news about vaccines that came out last week. So it looks like there's some light at the end of the tunnel. So how are your plans changing to accommodate that? And what big plans do you have for Speed Home moving forward?
Yeah, so the Bangkok expansion, it's back into the picture for 2021. Mm-hmm. We think probably it's Q3. We have actually made some groundwork in Bangkok. Actually, we won not a deal, but actually we have a partnership to lease out, I think, over 1,000 accommodation, student accommodation near to University of Bangkok. So that would, you know, at least when we make an entrance into Bangkok, we have a substantial inventory and demand to fulfill that as a transaction basis. That itself, I think Bangkok, because we are also looking to sell Bangkok properties to overseas buyers as well. Mm-hmm. So those are, I think a lot of our plans are hinging on, number one, expansion in terms of regional geographical expansion. In terms of business expansion, we are launching SpeedManage next month. I think I've talked about SpeedManage for very long. I'm not sure in 2019 interview if I've ever spoken about it. Uh-huh. But, you know, this is how pandemic screw up the whole timeline.
Yeah.
So we are finally getting there to launch it next month. To actually open up, I think in earlier of this interview, I mentioned, you know, rental collection, property management, nobody actually likes doing it, mm-hmm. but everyone has to do it, right?
Yeah.
So this is where we open up the platform for free, you know, for everyone to use our platform to make things a lot simpler for them, you know, rental collection on a dashboard, P&L, rental yield, everything is on a dashboard for them to see, for them to manage their property portfolios. And tenants, obviously, they have a single point of contact for a lot of services that we plan in it.
Very insightful chat, very insightful peek into what is happening at Speed Home and the larger property market. Thanks so much for your time, Wei Ming.
Thanks again.
Stay safe.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Bye. Right, that was Wong Wei Ming, CEO of Speed Home. You can listen to this interview again via podcast on the BFM website, the BFM app, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast fix. This has been Arvind Yuvraj on Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.